Well, if you'd like to take those little sheets that you were given out as you came in this evening, I hope everyone got one of those. We're going to consider some words of meditation tonight that I hope that will be a blessing for you, a take-home message, as it were. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this time to look into the Scripture today and to see the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ who came 2,000 years ago, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that this would be fresh to us, that this would be a help to us and practical in our daily lives. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. As I was doing some planning for 2009, I started to look at the public holidays that come during the year, and you could probably recite them off with me, starting with New Year's Day, and then Australia Day, Good Friday, the other Easter holidays, Anzac Day, Queen's Birthday, Labor Day, and then we come right up to Christmas Day and Boxing Day. They are the public holidays in New South Wales. Did you notice that two of those special days are commemorations of births? Firstly, there is the Queen's Birthday, and secondly, there is the King's Birthday called Christmas. The Queen's real birthday is not 9th of June when we celebrate it. It is the 21st of April. The King's real birthday is not the 25th of December. It's not really known when it is, but it is sometime earlier than that. Nevertheless, we remember those special occasions on those public holidays, these significant births. Why were those births significant? Well, history records nothing really about the birth of Queen Elizabeth. The history, of course, records some very significant things about the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. The angels out there in the field saw that great angelic host. And then there was the wise men who followed the star from the east and came to the place where Jesus was. Nevertheless, it wasn't the births themselves. It is who these people were, even as babes, that makes these births significant. You cannot talk about Queen Elizabeth's birth without talking about who she is. And you cannot talk about Jesus Christ's birth without talking about who he is. Did you also notice that out of the 10 public holidays in New South Wales, 4 are given over to Jesus Christ? Once, one at Christmas, and 3 over the Easter period. He is the only one remembered by his birth and death by public holidays in the state of New South Wales. Even though Jesus Christ is very prominent on our calendars, I wonder how prominent he is in our hearts and lives. I want to make a very bold statement, and then I'd like to help you to think about it tonight. The more prominent Jesus Christ in our lives, the richer we are for it. Let me say that again. The more prominent Jesus Christ is in our lives, the richer we are for it. The less Jesus Christ is in our lives, the poorer we are for it. We are like treasure hunters searching for treasure when all the time it was hidden in our own backyard, as it were, right under our very noses. I repeat, the more prominent Jesus is in our lives, the richer we are for it. Let me tell you about the Jesus whose birth we remember because of who he is. Let me tell you about him, and let me tell you then about some of the riches that he opens up for you. Or maybe you'd like a sneak peek. Maybe you'd like to hear about some of the riches first, and then you'd be interested in the key, the one who is the door and the key to those riches. Indeed, if heaven is the storehouse of God's riches, Jesus is the key, Jesus is the door. Come and let's take a look at this in two steps. The first step toward experiencing the riches of God in our lives is seeing the wonders of Jesus. Seeing the wonders of Jesus. Now, if you'd had a pen and a paper tonight, as the choir sang, as the children did the narrations, as we sung those wonderful carols together, you could have listed 10 wonderful riches that come through Jesus Christ to us, the people here on earth. And we need to see those tonight. I hope by now that you realize that I'm not talking about the riches of money. I'm talking about the real riches. The first of the riches from Jesus is Jesus gives hope for the hopeless. Jesus gives hope for the hopeless. Abby read, "In Jesus' name we find hope for the future." And the choir sang, "Hope for all in hopelessness, we find in Him an everlasting Father." And when we spend moments in despair, lean on the arms of everlasting love. This is true, for the Bible bears it out. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 27, which is on your sheets, it says, "God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." When all your hopes are dashed, Christ can give you hope again. Certain hope, clear, obvious hope, hope that chases away the darkness and brings wonderful light. The riches are this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Second riches from Jesus. Jesus provides care for broken dreams. In a world of broken dreams, the choir sang, no one is there for us, it seems. True, except that Jesus is. Long before we had the need, God sent His Son, they sang again. When no one else cares, Jesus Christ cares for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation," that means trials, "or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" And we can add, not even broken dreams can separate us from the love of Christ. I had my dream shattered 15 years ago, and in many ways I'm still recovering. But I can tell you tonight that Jesus Christ has cared for me all along the road. The third riches that comes from Jesus Christ, Jesus gives value in our worthlessness. Sometimes we do feel worthless. Maybe you've hurt someone you love. Maybe you've stooped lower than you ever thought you'd go. Maybe we've displayed all our ugly emotions for everyone to see. We feel low, we feel worthless, we feel we don't deserve another chance, we don't deserve forgiveness. Jesus will forgive us if we come to Him. He will restore, and His acceptance of us at that time gives a deep sense of worth. That is riches indeed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." That is riches. That is spiritual riches in the heavenly places in Christ. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world," it's talking of Christians, "that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." In Jesus Christ, we're acceptable to God. That is, if we're His. Number four, the fourth riches that come from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives peace for our stress. Boy, do we need that in our modern world. Abby read, "In Jesus' name we find peace for our present lives." And we sang, "And praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth." Indeed, Jesus promises in John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's peace in a stressful world. But Jesus Christ also promises that one day the world itself will be at peace. He will bring this about in His time. Speaking of Christ's future reign, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5 says, "Righteousness shall be the belt of His loins, and faithfulness the belt of His waist." So He will be righteous and faithful. "The wolf," it says, "will also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." There is coming a day of peace on earth. Perhaps you'd like to see that. Peace for our stress, hope for our hopelessness, care for our broken dreams, value for our worthlessness. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the door to these things. No wonder the birth of Jesus Christ is still celebrated on planet Earth today. His coming made the difference, and it's certainly something to sing about. See beyond the cradle to the man. Number five, Jesus gives power for our weakness. Melissa's section read, "The awesome power that created the universe is available to us." And the choir sang, "He is our strength when we are weak. He is the mighty God." Wasn't that a great item that the choir sang? He is the mighty God. When we have Christ, we have strength for the challenges of life. A well-known verse says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Sadly, this week I received reports of terrible atrocities in Nigeria. Muslims rampaged against the Christians when the Muslims lost the elections there. 30 churches were totally destroyed. 4 pastors lost their lives. 1 principal of a Christian high school was brutally murdered. 26,000 Christians were displaced. They're now in camps. But in Christ, they can find strength for the situation. His peace in their hearts. What a great resource. What a great rich to have in Jesus Christ. Number 6, Jesus provides help for our burdens. Strength for our weaknesses and help for our burdens. The choir sang, "When we have burdens we must bear, lean on the arms of faithful love. He is the mighty God." Jesus gives you personally this invitation in Matthew 11 and verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He bears the weight of the load. He will shoulder the load for us if we will only walk with Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're grieving. Maybe you're here tonight and you are the carer for someone who is chronically ill and you're just about drained. Maybe the finances are in reverse. Maybe someone has hurt you bad. Jesus will bear the load with you if you will only draw close to Him. The seventh riches that we can have through Jesus Christ is Jesus is present in our loneliness. He's present when we feel lonely. William read, "When we are overwhelmed with fear and loneliness, He is there." And the choir sang these beautiful words, "In a world of shifting sand, with no solid place to stand, a heart can tumble down to loneliness. Like a gift from heaven's light, a child was born that night, so we would never be alone again." It's true, Jesus Christ gives contentment through His companionship. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 from the Bible says, "Be content with such things as you have," and we can be, "for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's the promise that He gives to His child. I have been lonely. I was a lonely child, I was an only child, and I was a lonely teen. No one would want me, I thought, but Jesus did. The eighth riches that we find in Jesus Christ, Jesus gives courage for our anxiety. When overwhelmed with fear, He is there. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's so reassuring to know that the one who is the wise, the wonderful counselor, also has all power to bring His counsel to pass. He is the mighty God. Therefore, of whom shall I be afraid? Number 9, Jesus supplies love for our emptiness. William also said, when earthly relationships fail, we earnestly need the love of a Father. He is there. He is everlasting Father, ever faithful friend. And as I've heard the choir practicing over these weeks, they're the words that have hung in my mind the most. Everlasting Father, ever faithful friend. Jesus, when talking to his Father, was talking about his friends, the disciples, when he said in John 17 and verse 23, I have loved them as you have loved me. In other words, Jesus Christ loves us with the same love with which the Father loved the Son. That's pretty special. And as Paul said, nothing separates us from the love of Christ. Finally, Jesus is light for our darkness. Aidan pointed us to John chapter 1 and verse 4, which says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The life, it says, was the light of men. When we don't know which way to go, he is the light to show us the way. When we don't know right or wrong, which is right or wrong, he is the light for us. He is the light of life. In a DVD drama which I watched recently, Lord Ashby, an English lord, died the same day that his son and only heir died. The will required that the whole estate, which was very extensive, the castle in which they had lived, and the very extensive and valuable art collection that he owned, all be auctioned off. The first painting that was put up for auction was an unfinished work, a work of Lord Ashby's son, by a local and amateur artist. With the grand and professional paintings that were about to be auctioned, no one was really interested in the son. The auctioneer couldn't even get a bid for it, so he offered the painting if anyone would just come and take it, they could have it. No one did come and take it until a bloke who was known as Old John, a humble labourer on the estate of Lord Ashby, decided because he had been a friend to the boy that he would want that painting. And he came and he took the painting from the auctioneer. As soon as he received the painting, the auction for the whole lot was closed. Everyone erupted. They were angry. They'd come all this way. But the will was read, and I'm paraphrasing the legalese here. It said, whoever wants the son gets the lot. I'm not offering you a British country estate tonight. I'm offering you something far better. I'm offering you the spiritual riches of hope, of care, of being valued, of peace, of power to live and help, the presence of Jesus Christ, courage to live, and most of all, love, and last of all, the light of life. He who wants the Son gets the lot. The more we have Jesus Christ in our life, the richer we are for it. The second step towards experiencing the riches of Jesus in our lives is receiving the wonders of Jesus. First of all, seeing these wonders of Jesus, and then secondly, receiving them. He who wants the Son gets the lot. I need to explain a little bit more. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Jesus must be received. And once he is received, you have the riches of heaven at your disposal. As a son and daughter of the King, you are now a child of God. Jesus is the key, and Jesus is the door to heaven's riches. He who has Jesus has it all. He who does not have Jesus has access to none of it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 explains, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, does not have those riches of God. If you receive him, you receive it all. Jesus said to those who believed him, believed on him, in Matthew 16 and verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And elsewhere, Jesus explained how to get in. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 7, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And again, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." What does he mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, "If anyone enters by me"? Well, at the very least, he means that we must go to heaven Jesus' way. Everywhere, Jesus' requirements was the same. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached the same way. This is Jesus' way. He required two things. Number one, repentance. And number two, surrender. In regard to repentance, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17 records, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And that's what he did everywhere he went. Repent means be sorry for your sin, turn from your sin, stop your sin, and turn to God. That's what it means to repent. Jesus explained submission this way in Luke 9 and verse 23. "Then he said to them, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life," in other words, keep control for himself, "will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in the Father's and of the holy angels." Submission to Jesus means, number one, following him. Number two, choosing Jesus' way and not my own way. Number three, handing your life over to him to give him control. And number four, owning Jesus in front of anyone and everyone. Why would you do that? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Emma said he was sent by God the Father to care for us and to love us and redeem us. He came to die. And we sang, "Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." Do you believe this? There's a story about two Filipino taxi drivers who were identical twins. They lived in Manila and they drove those jeepneys. Though they were identical twins, they lived quite different lives. One was married and had children. The other one was single. Then one day the married brother accidentally struck a tourist. He was accused of reckless driving. He was tried and he was sentenced to 20 years in Manila prison, a devastating fate that would be dreadful for his wife and his children. One day his twin came to visit him in prison. He said, "Brother, your family desperately needs you. Put on my clothes and take my visitor's pass, and I will put on your prison uniform and serve the rest of your sentence. Go to your family." So the twins exchanged clothes and the married brother walked out of the prison unchallenged. Do you think the twin who was freed could ever stop thinking about the sacrifice that his brother made for him so that he could be free? Can we ever stop thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that we could be free? Let's turn from sin to the Savior. Let's trust his death in our place to take that penalty for sin. As we sang, "Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today." The truth is, Jesus in the manger was the full glory of God. And those who have the joy of entering heaven will say, as Aisha read from Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne. This is the one that was in the manger that day, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Where meek souls receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." If a person was genuine about repentance and submission to Jesus, they might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I do believe you're God. You came to earth to die that I could be forgiven. I am sorry for living my own life away from you, for my sin and indifference. I now want to let you take control of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for accepting me into your family. Now, a person only need pray a prayer like that once, genuinely. And at that moment, Jesus Christ will come in, and thereby you will have the riches of heaven at your disposal. He who has Jesus is rich indeed. Are you ready? Are you willing to make that step tonight? Come, let me lead you in a prayer. You can pray silently after me as I pray tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you want to trust Christ as your Savior, you might want to silently repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for leaving heaven and coming to earth. Thank you for going all the way to the cross for me. I am sorry for my sin. I turn from it and I turn to you. I give you my life. I receive you. Thank you for receiving me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for any that have prayed that prayer with me tonight. I pray that this would be real in their lives. I pray that they might leave here new creations. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.